Hey, what's up? This is Chris Gray, and you're listening to the ZFM Sport Podcast.
Lionel Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
Argentina, champions of the world, and the nation will tango all night long.
It's time for the biggest sports story.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen, two-time world champion.
The biggest interview.
She's on happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if there wasn't Venus. So thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James, at the worst, is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport, it's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
It's a very good evening, Zimbabwe. On a Monday, the team is here to review the weekend for you. Mike Madoda, Alois Bunjira, Chris Midzi, and my name is Barry Manandi. Our producer, of course, is Sean Tafirenyika. What a weekend it was.
It was a wretched weekend, Barry. Wretched weekend.
I speak in general terms. I know you and I.
Liverpool lost again. Highlanders lost a penalty shootout.
Barcelona lost.
Juventus lost. Shucks. Orlando Pirates.
All the leagues globally.
Australia cricket lost. Golden State Warriors lost. Shucks. I was just taking L's throughout the weekend.
Golden Eagles won.
Golden Eagles won. There we go.
Solace, brother. But as Mike said, Dynamos are into the Chibuku Super Cup final. The man who got them there, Abel Guatizzo. He scored the final and winning penalty.
Now asking for divine intervention. KK Kelvin Kayindu. Coaches go through a lot. Abel Guatizzo, are you the hero? Yes! Guatizzo wins it for Dynamos.
The Wallabies hang on to beat Japan.
Hosami pulls the pass to the line. Edmund invites Kilaway into the action. And now Fluke with a free run at the line. That is spectacular. And the Wallabies will hang on. It's a narrow win against the Brave Blossoms.
And Real Madrid defended valiantly to end Barcelona's El Clasico dominance.
It's out with a header. And Bellingham all on his own in the six-yard area scores. Simple as you like for Real Madrid.
At the Santiago Bernabeu on match day 10 in La Liga EA Sports, it's finished. Real Madrid 2, Barcelona 1.
Z.
Well, we heard how Mike's weekend was. Chris, how was yours?
I think equally as bad. I was not happy about this Dynamos win. I'm never happy about a Dynamos win.
But they stuck to the script, went to penalties, did it on penalties. They've done it.
Every single time.
That is
it's got to be a strategy.
Striking all the winning penalties.
The winning penalties.
Every single time.
Boom, done. Alois, you had a good weekend.
Yeah.
Manchester United.
Had a good weekend.
Real Madrid.
Except that Caps didn't play.
Caps didn't play. So it was
a good weekend. I also went out to Mutare.
Okay.
For the marathon.
Right.
21. Grueling terrain. But yeah, I conquered.
Where was that? That was Vumba, wasn't it?
Vumba. Yeah.
No, Vumba. And the Honda Valley coming up. So make a note in your diary. How was your weekend? Let us know. 0772-168-045. Let's go to our power play.
ZFM Stereo is untouchable.
From Rufaro to Barberfield, Mandava to Nyamunga, all the perfect moments in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League come together on ZFM Sport.
All right, let's let's get into it. It was Cup weekend this here in Zimbabwe, and Dynamos held their nerve once again from the penalty spot to edge Highlanders 5-3 in a tense Tebu Super Cup semi-final at Rufaro Stadium yesterday to book a place in the final. The Glamour Boys, who have survived every round of this year's competition through shootouts, kept that streak alive after the match ended 1-1 in regulation time. Let's hear from winning Dynamos coach Calvin Kayindu.
Yes, I think a good game. We did extremely well. We could have finished the game in the first half. We had a number of chances. We dominated the first half. We came back in the second half a bit down. They made some tactical changes. They pressed us. We conceded probably from a soft goal. But also in the second half, we could have wrapped up the game where the goal that was clear just by the goal line. But I give credit to the team. When it really matters, when it comes to penalty shootouts, it shows that we are the best.
KK was happy with the game, Mike. Were you happy with the game, with what you saw?
Oh, my goodness. I think it was a game full of intrigue. It was a game with jeopardy. It was a game in which the two teams dominated at different times. I thought Highlanders finished the strong of the sides, especially after they got their equaliser. They had momentum going for them, silenced the very vociferous Dynamos crowd. I think the one thing that we've seen of late, especially over the last month or so, we've seen the Dynamos fans really rally behind the team, support the team, sing
loud.
They've been very loud at Rufaro Stadium, and for a moment there, when Highlanders equalised, I mean, beautiful cross by Andrew Mbemba, and then that header by Melikaya, it sort of like silenced Rufaro Stadium, and then it was only, of course, at the city end that was really up and supporting. So it was a game that had so much. It had the beautiful goal scored by Jalai. Quick thinking there after the foul, and then Jalai. My goodness, what a hit.
Yes.
It'll definitely go
control
up there
volley.
As one of the best goals that we have seen this season.
Yeah.
One of the best goals that we have seen at Rufaro Stadium. In fact, I'll put it right up there with some of the best goals that we've seen in Rufaro over the last decade or so.
Wow.
What a wonderful hit from a player that I think worked so hard for Dynamos. He's hardly on the score sheet, but this time he was the one that gave Dynamos the lead. There were also, of course, you know, it was abrasive.
Yes,
it was, very abrasive. There was a little love, I think, between certain players on either side, and so it made for a very interesting watch for those that went to Rufaro Stadium. I don't think anyone can complain about the quality that was on show at Rufaro Stadium between the two biggest teams in the country. And in the end, it had to be settled by a penalty shootout. The penalties were generally good, and unfortunately for Prince Dube, the youngster from Highlanders, I think the pressure got to him, and he sent his just a little too high, skimming off the crossbar and going over the bar. It would have been a good penalty if it would just have been a few inches lower.
Yeah.
And you can tell that, you know what, the very fact that Dynamo substituted in a penalty-saving expert, a guy who has done the job, perhaps it weighed in on the thoughts and the thinking of Prince.
Yeah.
He wanted to put it in an area where you would be sure that the goalkeeper was not going to get it. So he overcompensated. And so that is the psychology that comes with a penalty shootout. But on the whole, I don't think anyone can complain about what happened at Rufaro Stadium. I wasn't really happy with the match officiating, and I'll tell you why. And it's not because of, well, he favoured any particular team. I just saw a referee that didn't take control.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, taking control, we often hear match officials in Zimbabwe say, oh, managing the game. No, but listen, don't manage the game by letting things just go. You manage the game by applying the rules of the game fearlessly and equitably. So for example, I'll tell you one thing that pisses me off about Zimbabwe football. The continuous kicking away of the ball. That's never punished. Never punished. A player can kick the ball away 50 meters.
And the
referee just strolls on as if nothing has happened.
Yeah.
Players are being injured. I mean, there were a couple of bad fouls that happened
very
in that game. No yellow cards. So for me, that's not managing the game. For me, that's poor officiating.
Poor officiating. And in truth, to their credit, Chris, the players on the pitch, they didn't necessarily descend into anarchy. There was still a lot of, as Mike pointed out, a lot of tactical astuteness on the part of the players and the coaches. And there was actually a high level and quality of play, which was very impressive by two teams that, let's not forget, are fighting relegation.
Absolutely. Fighting relegation is one. And two, there's always going to be a rivalry here. So I think even in the failure of the match official, like Mike was saying, to control this game, I think we still saw a degree of discipline from both sides. And what usually happens is that if there's anything that happens that pops off on the pitch, we usually then see another manifestation of it in the stands, and then it absolutely deteriorates. So I think really great to see that in this game. But like Mike was saying, it takes away from the occasion for there to be bad officiating. I think it impacts the overall decision, especially because this is a cup competition. So you're not going to get a return fixture or another leg. So unfortunate on the part of the referees, but good on the players to ensure that there was still a degree of discipline.
On the part of the players. Alois, let's talk tactics. Mike talks about the fact that Highlanders wrested control from Dynamos in the second half. And we saw it was as a result of the substitutions and the tactical tweaks that were made by De Jong when he moved Andrew Mbeba out of midfield and then to a more familiar role of right back. His first cross of the day being met by Melikaya and getting the equalizer. So that, in truth, we have to compliment the coach, don't we?
Yeah, I still believe that Mbeba is one of the best right backs that we have. I think we waste him when we play him at the center. For me, I think he's roving. He can get forward. He's got the energy. He's got the skill. And then he's got the technique. He's got the technique to bend the ball and deliver a lot of crosses. So I think that's his best position. He's got the height as well. Yeah. So even if balls are thrown into the far post, he can deal with them as well. So I think for his development, if he really wants to go far in his career, I think he needs to stick to the right back. Specialize. You know, being moved all over around the field, I don't think it's
basically
good,
do a
it's good for him. I don't think it's good for him.
Do you know what I'll say? I'll say this. I think Mbeba is a better option, national team option than Muriira.
Than Muriira, for example. I would agree with that.
And also because he's got the ability, because when we talk about Muriira being able to play as a right back and as a centre back, so can Mbeba.
He can.
Mbeba can play as a centre back.
Then Mbeba has got a lot going forward.
I think Mbeba has got a lot more going forward, just in terms of his delivery, his technique, his set piece ability. Absolutely fantastic. The one criticism, Barry, I know you talked about Peter De Jong commended for that. But I also, listen, the one big criticism for me for De Jong is his team selection. Okay. I think he's getting it wrong. He started Mbeba in a position midfield where he doesn't get the best out of it. But just even some of his selections, you know, having Melikaya on the bench, having Mason Mushoro on the bench, you know, all those things for me, they just contributed to Highlanders having that slow start. Take a look at the team. I mean, people love, what's his name?
Marvin
Sibanda. But goodness gracious, the guy's been giving Highlanders nothing for the last couple of months. Why is he playing?
Didn't cover himself.
He doesn't cover
him.
He loses the ball needlessly. I don't know why he believes that there's a hole through every player in front of him, because every pass, he's trying
to pass through.
I don't know. And yet they're better midfielders at that give Highlanders more. Look at Melikaya. The way he influenced the game in the time.
And
he
was on the field for 3 minutes.
And to bench Mason Mushoro, for me, it's unbelievable. Because there is a rising star and he has got everything, the stability, height, passing, everything he has got, and he is a developing player. As a coach, you also need to play your part in also developing player. Find the talent, see the potential in a player and be part of the growth of the player. Don't be a part of the damage.
Yes.
You cannot arrive where there is a rising star and be the one to have rocked the boat
for this player. Who did he play as the holding midfielder? Andrew Mbeba.
When he's supposed to be playing him on the right side.
Exactly. So I think Peter De Jong has got some questions to answer. Even for the changes that he then made, he made the mistakes. Like, we don't compliment you for doing corrections.
But the other thing, Barry, I mean, I also want to, I wasn't happy, the behavior of the Highlander centre-back.
Was it Brian Mutetwa, I think it was?
Brian Mulochwa. Mm. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I think that sort of behavior is abhorrent. I mean, he should have been sent off.
Yes.
Blatant elbow that he threw, and for him to protest the free kick
after it,
after it, as if he had done nothing.
Yeah.
Yet you're lucky. He didn't even get a booking, did he?
Yeah.
He didn't even get a booking. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. The match officiating.
Yeah. Generally,
I'm just apply the laws of the game.
Yes. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. No, guys, just apply the laws as they are. If someone gives an elbow, it's a red card.
Yeah,
don't manage the game by keeping him on.
No,
send him off. That's how you're managing the game.
Now all the other players know.
No.
And also, what I've discovered in Zimbabwe, generally, I don't know if it comes from the training grounds or whatever, we have got so many indisciplined players.
Yes, I know.
Are not disciplined at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, they are rowdy, they remonstrate, they are always shout, they do a lot of things that naturally you just need to be a well-behaved footballer. Yeah. It's a sport. Mm. You want to be this sportsman, but these guys, I don't understand when you watch them.
They're being told to remonstrate, I believe that.
Yeah,
they
are. So that's why I'm saying, I don't know if it's coming
also
from the coaches.
On the side.
Look at Peter de Jong, his behavior on the touchline.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's so irritating.
The guy's throwing the guys, it's irritating. Come on. But here's the thing. As a match official,
Namamun
ne red card.
Caution them so that you keep them quiet.
Yeah. And at the very minimum, at least give them a yellow.
But then, Barry, I wanted to respond to the other guy. I thought I should Mugazigiro penalty. I want that guy to go and ask Prince Dube. Prince Lovu. Man, how easy is it to take a penalty?
Yeah. Okay.
For any of the guys that took the penalty.
Yes, I know.
All 10 penalties.
Penalties are tough. It didn't go to penalties, though. In the other semi-final that was played on Saturday, and relegation-threatened Triangle caused a major upset by dumping high-flying debutants Moors out of the Chibuku Super Cup with a convincing 2-0 victory at Ngoni Stadium to reach the final. Triangle's two goals were scored in each half of the match thanks to Witness Chavez's third-minute strike and Menford Mudzimu's 80th-minute effort. How wrong. I certainly got this one. I thought Moors would go through.
Didn't we get the entire studio?
We didn't predict this one.
Yeah,
We didn't do the predictions for this.
I predicted that it would be a Moors Dynamos final, and Dynamos would win the final on penalties.
Yeah.
And Dynamos would come
unstuck. We were quite confident that Moors would go through.
We were. I remember when we were talking about.
No, this is a surprise result.
Very big surprise.
Remember, we're talking about how it was possible for the two newcomers to be going into Africa.
Because
it could actually be a case of the relegation teams that could actually be relegated and win this cup and send them to Africa. So there could be a team in one of the regions that could be heading to the Confederation Cup.
It could be Triangle or Dynamos. Well, the final is settled and set. It will be Triangle taking on Dynamos at a venue to be announced by the Premier Soccer League. Likely, I think it'll probably be Rufaro Stadium. All right, let's give you a local sports news roundup.
I listen to my radio. ZFM Stereo. The Home Front. Local sports news and analysis.
Sasha Local Sports News Roundup with some rugby. The Sable Lager Grid Cup kicked off in style at Harare Sports Club with a thrilling doubleheader that gave fans a glimpse of what could be the dawn of franchise rugby in Zimbabwe. The opening match between the Ngunis and Valley Blades turned into a tri-fest with both sides crossing the whitewash 8 times each. In the end, the Ngunis won 52-50 at the death. In the second game, the Sunrays ran away 39-17 winners over Impies, whose depleted side was missing their inspirational captain, Kudzai the Enforcer. Mashawi, known for his hard-running and aggressive style of play. In cricket news, the Zimbabwe cricket has made a single yet significant change to the national squad for the upcoming three-match T20 international series against visiting Afghanistan by announcing the sensational return of veteran leg spinner and former captain Graham Cremer. The 39-year-old, who came out of retirement just 3 months ago, has been named in the 15-man squad, replacing pace bowler Trevor Gwandu in the only alteration from the side that secured an unbeaten qualification for the ICC Men's T20 World Cup 2026 earlier this month. To finish off with basketball news, Zimbabwe basketball will head into a decisive moment when the Basketball Union of Zimbabwe holds elections on the 15th of November in Gweru, a vote that could finally end months of internal turmoil. The elections are expected to usher in fresh leadership, with both President Joe Mujuru and Secretary General Charmaine Chamboko confirming they will not be seeking re-election.
Ready for summer? Oh yeah, we are too.
From the front of the grid to the back of the net, it's ZFM Sport. International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play.
Right, let's go international with our sports news, and we are talking rugby. Remember, of course, it's the beginning of the autumn internationals, and coach Joe Schmidt is set to call in reinforcement for the Wallabies' second row after injuries and errors made almost derailed their opening tour test against Japan. The Australians have flown on to London after narrowly avoiding a historic first loss to Eddie Jones coach Brave Blossoms with a 19-15 scoreline to kick off this year's November international. Let's hear from Joe Schmidt.
There was nothing surprising about how competitive they were, how combative they were. We made them defend in the first quarter of the game a lot, and they measured up. We got very close to scoring, maybe even got some, but couldn't quite get that separation on the scoreboard. Just with the grit they have, that dynamic, they got off the line and forced us back a few times. They were really impressive through that period of defence.
So while Schmidt gambled with an understrength team, their cause wasn't helped by the loss of locks Lucan Salakai-Lotto, who of course suffered a rib injury, and his replacement Josh Canham, who had a concussion, and both of course going out in the opening 20 minutes. Listen, Barry, it's a bit of worry because, you know, if you're suffering a double injury and, you know, severe injuries at the very start of your tour, and usually you begin sort of like you ease your way into the autumn internationals, unless you're the All Blacks who have just decided, you know what, they've started with Ireland off the bat. Okay, we'll play Ireland and then we'll crack on with the other teams afterwards. But for Australia, this, of course, was meant to ease
nice and easy
into the November internationals, but it ended up being a very abrasive match. What can you tell us about the conditions of those two players? Because the two players were very important for Joe Schmidt and the Wallaby course.
Well, after the match, all we could find out was that he wasn't able to talk about the severity of Salakai-Lotto's injury, but he said Josh Canham wouldn't be available for selection for that match against England next weekend at Twickenham. Because of the concussion protocol. So he loses those two players because of, like you say, this game ended up being tougher than they expected. It ended up being more bruising than they expected. And with a game against England to come, they would have liked a little better luck than they had in it.
And taking a look, of course, at those games that are coming up, you know, we can talk about Australia all we want, but I want us to talk about Japan, because upcoming next week, whilst Australia are playing England, they are playing the Springboks. And it's not a game that we expect them to win.
No,
they're not doing that. But what we've seen from Japan over the last 8 years or so is that
they have repeatedly lined up these big matches.
Yeah.
Every year they play the All Blacks, they play the Wallabies, they play South Africa, England, and they're giving themselves, you know, a high, really top-end competition, and we have seen them improve.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, I think, was it at the 2019 World Cup where they beat the Springboks?
Yeah.
You know, at that tournament. So they are learning by having these matches and also integrating some of the more senior players from these nations into their league.
Yeah, 100%. It's incredibly important that when, look, you want to ensure that you advance, ensure that you grow, you're pitting yourself up against the best, and doesn't get better than the Springboks, unfortunately. So it's really important for development. And we might take a look at these games and say, look, you know what, Japan's not, they're the minnows when we take a look at some of these pairings, but they go into it confidently, and we're going to continue to see that growth. And I think at the next Rugby World Cup, we might actually see an even more improved Japan side.
All right, upcoming November International Test, England versus Australia. The Springboks take on Japan, like we were talking about, Scotland versus the United States of America. But undoubtedly, the big game of the weekend is out in Chicago in the United States of America, where it's Ireland versus the All Blacks.
Hi, this is Zinzan Brook, All Black number 883, and you're listening to
ZFM Stereo Sports. Z. Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
Let's take off in India, where Sophie Eccleston suffered an injury scare ahead of the Women's Cricket World Cup semi-finals as England ended their league campaign with an 8-wicket victory over New Zealand following an erratic bowling display and a clinical batting performance. In Austria, Jannik Sinner fought back from a set down to claim his fourth title of the season with victory over Alexander Zverev in the Vienna Open final. In the United States, Victor Wembanyama became the first player in NBA history to record 100 points and 15 blocks in the first three games of the regular season as the San Antonio Spurs beat the Brooklyn Nets in Texas. His touchdown in Mexico, Lando Norris delivered a dominant performance and statement win in the Mexico City Grand Prix to reclaim the leadership of the World Championship from McLaren teammate Oscar Piastri by a single point with four races of the season to go. We're going to talk about that a little bit more on tomorrow's show. That's the Formula One Report, proudly brought to you by Zimoco.
Lock it off. CFM Stereo is untouchable. Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
Right, so let's go to our messages, and they've been coming in on 0772-168-045. That number again, 0772-168-045. Hi, ZFM Sportscasters. This message reads, and if Dynamos was a person, he or she would be a billionaire by winning the lottery the way they are winning their penalties. It's awesome. Prosper with Scotland out in Norton. Luck, or do you just really good penalty takers, Barry?
Okay, so I think the commentary over the years has led us down the wrong path, because commentators find it sexy to say the lottery of the penalty. The truth is, penalties aren't really a lottery. It's just technique. Okay? Yeah. It's the technique of the goalkeeper to be able to read the attacking player, and the attacking player to be able to tuck it away. So it's actually a footballing skill. So for me, to answer your question, Dynamos, it's because they practice their penalties, and that's why they do.
All right. Good evening, team. And Maite Novak Djokovic, Vapelas, Vachisia Mutambo, you Vachipinda, my top four in my Grand Slam. By thinking is Wafana, Vasu Strong, Kana Apera, Ngavambudi, Sekuma Round, Chakadaro. No, that's not the point. A player like Novak Djokovic is not entering tournaments to finish in the quarterfinals and to finish in the semifinals.
Yeah, to participate.
He's like, not there to participate, my friend. He's there to win. Yeah. You think if the likes of Rafael Nadal or Roger Federer, they could have continued playing and they would have been getting to semifinals. And so
easy.
But those guys have built their careers on winning.
Yeah.
Their brands are built on winning, not on losing finals and semi-finals. Novak Djokovic could be the final.
And also remember, these guys are quality. So he's not going to get knocked out in the prelims and so on and so forth. Even David Beckham, he was winning leagues in France with PSG. But he said that when Messi ran past him,
Yeah.
He knew it was time to it was time to go. But he was winning leagues in France. But when he went to the Champions League and played Barcelona, he was like, level. So you reach a ceiling.
Scholes
yes,
saying the same thing as well. When he remember when Scholes made the comeback?
Correct.
He's Pavagadamane Barca. When we then played Dancing, came up against Messi, as I realized. No, I make a mistake.
You'll make it to semi-finals, but that's his ceiling. He can't go beyond that. He's not going to get to win a Grand Slam.
Good evening, team. Surely the weekend was full of drama in the sporting world. Of note is the Mukoko guy of DRC in a game against Pirates. I think Orlando Pirates did not do a favour to themselves by allowing the game to be played without VAR. It's high time that every international match be played with VAR. Well, it's not because it's Orlando Pirates.
It's not Orlando Pirates.
It's CAF.
It's CAF.
Yeah, it's CAF that chooses
the competition.
The good thing, I think, is that COSAFA has shown that it has the capacity. Yes, the system doesn't work properly because I felt that with COSAFA, the decisions took too long to make.
Yes.
Way too long. Yeah. But I am sure with a bit more investment, they can actually pull it off in the Betway Premiership. There's no reason why they cannot have VAR. Because what we saw in that match, I mean, the behavior from the Congolese players. Especially Mukoko was scandalous. Yeah. We'll talk about it a bit more, obviously, on tomorrow's show when we dive deep into Africa. But Orlando Price, unlucky Barry, 3-0 down from the first leg, and they bring it back to 3-3 with the last kick of the game, and then to lose on the penalties.
Yeah, that's
like Vaganyemuzwa.
They tasted
of scoring that third goal.
That third goal in the moment that they got it. Get them to penalties. And then to go to the low of actually them getting out of the
How did they even lose 3-0 to that team in the first place?
Did you hear what happened? Hansi, on match day, they were literally starved. No food in the hotel, nothing. Hansi, they played on empty stomachs. And the way they were treated in DRC was, Anzi, terrible. Terrible.
How did that come to that?
Anzi, no one in the hotel. I think I was talking to you very over the weekend about
this. No one in the hotel.
No staff. Munungo Mugaimi holiday in Kukichen Kusina Chikaf.
Can I ask?
The restaurant, Iri empty, no food, and you can't go anywhere. Anzi, they tried that.
They couldn't go out.
They couldn't do anything. Because, listen, the DRC guys, it's not like Santa. You can't just say, let's snip open the ball.
It's a little bit different.
Come
on, Mikey.
You know, it's like, we're nipping over to Mug and Bean. We're going to grab a meal.
What's that coming up? You're like, Dopey or Zero.
That's extreme. I'm trying to imagine. It's still a popper from Kinshasa. Right?
Yeah, but that's one of the Myers.
Surely, somewhere in Kinshasa.
Yes,
football's incredibly gangster.
Guys,
Pawotera
chaipo baguette. Security. Mushinza muskubuda. I'm telling you, because I experienced it in Ivory Coast, trying to go for a pre-match where the guy literally was like, you for the pre-match press conference, you don't go without security. The guy,
I'm still trying to figure out a big club like Orlando Pirates. You don't have people there in DRC that come to.
We can speculate about that. I'm just saying what was being said. And since we cannot afford pizza, can we at least get Rulani? I think they're in the same price.
And they're on the same shelf.
Rulani might be pricier.
I
think they're on the same shelf.
Is Rulani out of a job? He's in a job right now.
Yeah,
he's in a job.
Didn't he leave?
Yes, he changed clubs, but he just changed clubs.
Clubs.
I think he's still there, isn't he? There in Morocco?
He's in Morocco.
What's this? It's a Morocco guy, yes. I think he's changed clubs. Just check that for us.
Okay,
I'm sure.
Right, Caps United, Dunsey's. Let's jump over that one.
We're playing chicken.
That's a bad weekend for me. Shele, Bo Basa Boso, and the Garane Boots Nasna Zona, Ndaugez, and Dagafeka Hembe, and we have Anonzi Vini Junior, Panaquano in the Attitude Yake Ia, that is from Slim T Hazards.
Yeah, Vinny was a bit of a challenge.
Well, let's talk about that in the beautiful game.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. The league that makes football all so beautiful. Where artistry and strokes of genius are the order of any day. Where the game is played with a smile. All the youth from the Spanish La Liga on CFM Sport.
All right, let's talk about El Clasico. Jude Bellingham says it was a great performance from the whole team as Real Madrid edged an impassioned El Clasico at the Bernabeu to beat Barcelona 2-1 and go 5 points clear at the top of La Liga.
Ellos juegan muy alto y tenemos Kylian Mbappé.
Yes, a very important victory for us. We are very happy because it's been a long time. Today is a good day for all of us. A great day for everyone, and that's why we deserve the 3 points. For me, it was in the first half with the ball, and we were very decisive. Each possession ends with a good shot or something in the second half, more so for the defensive team. Juiz Feed Carreras and Carva played very well when he came in, but a great performance from the whole team.
He says a great performance from the whole team, Alois. And it's difficult to argue with him, certainly in that first half, because you've got to say that I think the second half, yes, the dynamic of the game had changed. Barcelona certainly looked the better side.
Yeah, I think they made it count when it made it most. They got the goals and they made sure that they had a very comfortable.
It was vintage Madrid. Exactly. Used the ball effectively.
Exactly.
Bang, and you get.
Exactly. That's what they did. And we predicted that as well. If they want to win, they have to be just direct. Get the ball and just go direct, and that's exactly what they did, and it paid off. But obviously, Barcelona being Barcelona, they would fight back.
Yeah, exactly.
They were always going to fight back, and it was going to be expected. And it would have been better if Mbappé had scored that insurance goal there, the penalty. But he made it very difficult for Real Madrid. And,
was it?
But they did do well to hold on, you know, because it's not easy to hold on against.
And hold on, they certainly did, Mike, because we've always talked about the Hansi Flick teams, and Barcelona is now definitely a Hansi Flick team, having the challenge with the high line. And we have a very quick transitional Real Madrid. It was always going to be that they'll get chances. Is that a challenge or... Carry on,
that's the way he plays.
Yeah.
And that way has brought results.
It has?
This high line has brought Barcelona results.
Yeah.
They're not going to change.
Yeah.
That's the way Hansi Flick believes that Barca should play, compress the field, and then obviously
play high,
and then take advantage of the superior technical ability of the Barcelona players. This is where La Masia comes into effect, because these are players that train this and play that way. Those little rondos, they create small boxes in there. And they're able to zip it around. Mm. And that is where that superior technical ability comes into play, where they shift the ball quickly and constantly and move you from side to side, and obviously then create the overloads on the wings, you know, create space for a Lamine Yamal and a Rafinha if it was playing. But for Barcelona, obviously missing a lot of experienced players who would have made a difference in this particular game. Rafinha, Lewandowski, players of that ilk, I think would have added a bit of a different dimension, because what Lewandowski gives Barcelona is the dimension of not having to play everything to feet. He gives Barcelona the crossing dimension that sometimes you can bring in a cross because he's able to finish in that manner. You can also be quite direct. He's able to hold up play and link up play as well. So Barcelona missed them, but for Real Madrid, an important victory. They were thumped. They just didn't lose El Clasico last season. They were being thumped. Fours and fives. And so this was a very important win for them, for their psyche, mm-hmm. for their belief that they can compete.
Yeah.
Because the last classic of the season is in Barcelona.
Yeah.
And it's likely to be in the new Spotify new camp, which by then I'm sure will be packed to the rafters. Yeah, so it's going to be a very different game, a different atmosphere. But this 5-point lead at this stage of the season, I think it's going to be very important for them. But I was slightly disappointed though with the come on, it's match day 10. Mm. And because for me, the way they celebrated almost betrayed their thinking.
They think
Barcelona is a superior team.
Yes,
that's what they think.
And I was about to ask Chris.
They betrayed that with the way they celebrate. Was Vaga celebrate on the winner Champions League?
Yes. The fact that last time out, last season, they were being thumped in every Clásico, that they managed to hold on for this 2-1 victory in this one. Mm-hmm. Was that the reason for the celebrations? And then also the combustible end that we saw at the end of that game where the Real Madrid fans, they wanted to actually eat Lamine Yamal.
Literally.
An 18-year-old.
And it's crazy that he's able to generate so much energy from everyone, from the players first of all, from the rest of the staff that is on the field,
the non-playing players,
from everyone in the stands. He's 18 years old and just commanding everyone's attention and energy, and it's crazy. He's almost reignited a rivalry single-handedly, and it's because of all of those sort of, I think he does a good talking game before a game.
So he's
saying all of these really ratchet things. His dad is also chiming in on his podcast or whatever it is on social media. So it really amplifies it. So when you come up against him, I think by the time you play Lamine Yamal, he's done a very good job of getting in your head in the first place.
I like the Clásico is the Clásico.
He brings
that animosity. Yes. He brings that antagonistic behavior. And they wanted to eat him. They should want to eat him.
Some of the comments that have been released on social media of what was actually being said in those altercations, like, yo, Nungeta, I'm a big pass chete. It sounded borderline childish, but that just shows you, I think, the intensity of that rivalry.
For me, I do worry for Spain, though, because we are going back to that era where Spain as a country always underperformed.
Because of the rift between
Real Madrid and Barcelona. And you can already see it now. Yeah. It's getting to that point. Because remember, for them to actually get on this winning streak, I think it took a meeting between Casillas and Puyol,
who decided
to pull everyone together and say, guys, okay.
For the country.
Yeah, for the country now. Yeah. Let's play.
La País.
I think it's going to demand a similar effort because this current Spain squad
looks like
has the potential to win the World Cup.
Yes.
Because I take a look at the World Cup next year in 2026 and I'm taking I'm taking a look at Spain, the best team.
Easy.
I'm taking a look at France.
Yeah.
Those are the teams I'm looking at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Portugal with an outside chance.
England.
And then England won't win the World Cup. We know that. And then obviously, you've got Argentina. If any of those teams are to stand the chance of toppling Argentina, they have to go into the tournament united, focused, and with the right sort of spirit. Otherwise, Argentina will eat them.
Yeah.
Eat them, because Argentina will be united.
They will
because
be,
eat Argentina for all whatever. When they get to get there, like a pack of baboons.
Yes.
But when they come to Argentina, they are one.
They are one. And they put that dagger between their teeth. And they rock and roll. So anyway, the rest of your La Liga weekend results. Villarreal 2-0 winners over Valencia. Real Sociedad 2-1 winners over Sevilla. Like we said, Real Madrid are now 5 points ahead of Barcelona, sitting on 27
good lead.
Points. Good lead. Barcelona in second on 22 points, and then Villarreal is in third on 20 points. Tonight, Real Betis takes on Atletico Madrid. In Italy, Igor Tudor has been dismissed as Juventus head coach after 24 games in charge. The 47-year-old's last game was a 1-0 loss to Lazio last night, leaving the side in eighth in Serie A. It looked at times there, Alois, like Igor Tudor was cooking. It looked like there was something happening there. The results haven't favored it. The Juventus head coach who just lost his job.
Alice is looking just, at you.
No, seriously, when you look at Juve, we spoke about it, that you know we would want to see more.
We are from Juventus.
Yes,
exactly,
we want to see more of Juventus. Even if it's in Europe, whether it's in Italy, we want to see more. As soon as we see Juventus sliding, we start asking questions, yeah. And it's not an easy job for any coach.
Right.
You know, when you are in Juve, you just need to keep going, and you have to be at the top of your game at all times, because everybody will be watching, and they're the top team in Italy. They are one of the best teams over history in Europe as well. So this is a big, big job, and you really have to be on your toes all the time.
You know what's disappointing, I think, for this one is the fact that in the game versus Real Madrid in the Champions League,
they actually did well. We were expecting them to kick on in this game, but
sadly, they went backwards.
Yeah.
But it's also a very decent Lazio side, eh?
Yeah.
A very good Lazio side.
So you think perspective was lost slightly by the leadership?
No, but I believe in the attitude that is shown at the big clubs, especially in Italy, Spain, Germany. They don't wait.
They don't sell fools gladly.
If Slot had been in Spain,
he would have been fired.
In Italy, he'd have been fired.
Even Amorim,
he'd have been fired. Gone.
Even Amorim, good.
He'd have gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
They don't suffer because why not? You know what? We can't afford not to be in the Champions League.
Yes.
And even Liverpool, I think decision will be made.
Yeah, I think
if
so,
he doesn't turn it around in the next game or the next two games, because the Liverpool will take a look at the huge capital outlay that they made, and they know that they cannot afford not to be. In the Champions League.
Given him literally everything apart from Mark Gay, and he needs to deliver. Let's wrap it up with your key Serie A results. AC Milan 2-2 draw with Pisa. Udinese 3-2 winners over Lecce. Roma 1-0 winners over Sassuolo. And then Napoli were imperious over Inter.
Surprise!
Napoli were imperious. 3-1 winners over Inter Milan. What a goal by McTominay. Oh my days.
Yeah.
What
my
guy.
Yeah,
it was brilliant to watch.
Getting him back to Man U.
Sadly, you know what? Because of the way he was treated, he probably won't come back to United.
No, see, that's the problem.
He won't do that.
I can see.
He's got a long hair going on.
He seems like he's a continental player.
He has a crosswords.
I don't do England.
If anything, I think I'd end up Spain.
Yes.
I can see him going to Spain. I can see him doing stuff like that. Yeah. And then eventually coming back to join Liverpool. And then.
He's a damn good player.
Very dynamic. Can do a bit of everything, defense, attacks.
We'll have more time to look at England, so don't miss the show. And as you heard earlier, we will pop onto the continent of Africa. Orlando Pirates out at the preliminary stages of the CAF Champions League. May God richly bless you. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Manande, out.
Messi has conquered his final peak. Lionel Messi has shaken hands with paradise.
The biggest sports stories.
Max Verstappen has taken the checkered flag to win the Japanese Grand Prix.
The biggest interviews.
These are happy tears, I guess. I don't know. And I wouldn't be Serena if there wasn't Venus. No, thank you, Venus.
And all the analysis right here.
There's no question that LeBron James the worst is a top three player in the history of basketball since the game was invented. I don't want to hear that. It's just blasphemous.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's CFM Sport on CFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Madud, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are Z Team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.